I've heard a lot of blessings given out from the pulpit. I've never heard one given out for a sneeze so seamlessly. John's like, that concludes the Lord's Supper, and at this time, bless you, we have a chance to... Like, man, that was amazing. That was great, John. Well done. All right. When I say the phrase kingdom of God, what comes to mind? If I were to ask you to tell me what is the kingdom of God, what would you say? A lot of people would say the kingdom of God is the church. When I think of the kingdom of God, I want to define the kingdom of God. Church is what people would say. Some people would say heaven. The kingdom of God is heaven, or it's in heaven. Some people would say the kingdom of God is this millennial kingdom that Jesus is going to establish when He comes back at the second coming, and He's going to establish this physical kingdom in Israel once again. And so if I asked you, what would you say is the kingdom of God? How would you explain it? How would you define it? You might say, man, I don't have a clue. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never heard that phrase. I don't know anything about it. Well, we need to know something about it, because the concept, not the phrase always, but the concept of kingdom of God is used in the Bible over 400 times, probably closer to 500 times. So instead of something that is confusing, or we don't really know, we're not real sure, it needs to be something that we very much understand, because how many times does the Bible have to say something for us to know it's important? One time. If the Bible says it two or three times, it's really important. If the Bible talks about it 400 times, that's sort of a big deal. And so we need to know what the Bible's talking about. I will tell you this, that if when you think the kingdom of God, or you define it, or you explain it, you have a very short answer, you're probably not right. If you have an easy, quick, few-word answer or one-word answer, that's probably not accurate. Probably not what the kingdom of God actually is. Now, I do want to tell you, before we get farther into the lesson, turn over to Matthew chapter 13, and I want to talk about why this topic is so important and why it's important for us to take just a minute and really get our minds straight as we talk about this issue. Because in this group this morning, in a group this size, almost certainly there are two kinds of people. Not three, not four, not ten, two. When it comes to the kingdom, there are probably, in this group, the people who are here this morning, probably two kinds of people. People who are interested in hearing about and learning about the kingdom, and people who aren't. That's the only two kinds of people there are. In a group this size, it's very, very, it's probable, in fact, that we've got people who are anxious to hear about the kingdom and people who are not. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, when He's talking about, you remember this chapter, every parable begins with what? The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. Over and over. This is the kingdom of God chapter. And Jesus says that in verse 13, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, hearing they don't hear, nor do they understand. He says in verse 11, to you, to His disciples, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And He said this in verse 15, that there are some people whose hearts have become dull. There are some people, verse 15, whose ears scarcely hear, who close their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. There are two groups of people in the world, and most likely here today. There are people who want to hear about the kingdom. They're anxious to learn about the kingdom. They're interested in the kingdom. And then there are those who are not, who simply will display that because they will manifest that, not listening, not hearing, not paying attention to what's going on, not really hearing what the Word of God is saying about it, or hearing it, understanding it and saying, not really for me. There's that group, and then there's a group that says, I'm all about the kingdom. I'm interested in the kingdom. I want to know about the kingdom. And each of us has to decide which group we're in, right? We need to make that determination. We need to decide, which group am I in? Am I in the group who is not interested, don't want to hear about the kingdom? Or am I one of those people who says, let me know, tell me, teach me about the kingdom so I can know what the Bible says about this thing that's talked about between 400 and 500 times, which makes it a very important thing. So, what is the kingdom of God? As we begin a series of lessons this morning entitled Not of This World, Kingdom Thinking in Everyday Life, we want to know first, what is the kingdom? What is it? What are we talking about? Very simple definition. The kingdom of God is anything that's ruled by God. That's what it is. Anything that God rules, very simple. Anything that God rules is the kingdom. That's it. If God rules it, if He's the king of it, if it's under His control, so He could kind of see where this is going, at least initially, you see what the kingdom is. You can sort of understand that the kingdom of God is anything that is under God's control. Now let's divide the Bible into Old and New Testament and talk about how the Bible describes the kingdom. In the Old Testament, kingdom of God can basically mean three things. Number one, it can mean all of creation. Psalm 103 in verse 19 says, the sovereignty of the Lord rules over all. If it exists, it is in the kingdom of God because God rules it. There cannot be anything that exists that God doesn't rule. It is impossible for anything to exist that God doesn't rule. It can't happen. It cannot be. You know, what about the devil? The devil rebelled against God. The devil threw off the authority of God. But remember how many times in the Bible the devil has to get God's permission to do something. Even the devil is under the authority of God. It can mean creation. It can also mean Israel. God created a physical nation that He called Israel. And He said this, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So sometimes in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God is Israel. But mainly, the most important thing in the Old Testament is that kingdom of God means the coming messianic kingdom. The Old Testament started looking forward to the coming Messiah in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Where it said that because the devil had come and tempted man to sin and man had given in and now man is a sinner, God said that the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman is coming. He's going to come and He's going to crush the head of Satan. As He does so, Satan will inflict a foot wound, a severe wound on the Messiah. But the Messiah will crush Satan. He will take His power. He will remove His power. And so the coming messianic kingdom begins to be talked about at that point. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. In the days of those kings, the Roman kings, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Daniel 2 and verse 44. So when we read the Old Testament and we read about the rule of God, we're reading about either creation or the nation of Israel, or, in the Old Testament, the coming messianic kingdom. Now, when we get to the New Testament, it's important to see how the New Testament describes the kingdom. In the New Testament, the kingdom of God is a spiritual entity. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is something that is spiritual. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would be fighting, but my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said in Luke 17 that the kingdom is not going to come with signs to be observed so that people will say, look, there it is, or here it is. But the kingdom of God, He said, is among you. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It has no physical territory. The kingdom of God has no physical territory. Now, there are some churches in the past and still today that have a physical territory for about 1,000 years. The Catholic Church ruled over what were called papal states in Europe, which was a physical territory owned by the Catholic Church. It comprised a physical territory. To a lot of people today, the kingdom of God, to a lot of Christians, is centered in the nation of Israel. To a lot of people today, their interest in Israel is not political, it's spiritual. Because a lot of Christians today believe that the kingdom of God has its center in the physical territory of Israel. But in the New Testament, the kingdom of God has no connection to ownership of any physical territory. It's spiritual. It has no earthly government and no earthly legal system. Again, Catholicism centered in the Vatican in Italy. The Vatican is a country. The Vatican is a nation. The Vatican is just like the United States or Canada. The Vatican is a country. And so in the Bible, though, earthly government and legal system are not part of the church. The church does not have, like modern nations, an elite or a ruling class. We don't have anything in the church that depends on who your father was or how much money you have or what certifications you have. We don't have that in the church. We do not have in the kingdom of God today citizenship by physical birth. Now, there are some state churches in Europe that when you are born, you are automatically enrolled in the state church. That membership in that church is by physical birth. That's not the New Testament kingdom. You're not born into the New Testament kingdom physically. The New Testament kingdom has no military and never engages in military force. In the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church said, I'm not trying to harp on Catholics by any means. These are actual examples of what we're talking about. But in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church sent out knights and warriors on crusades to use military force to capture territory in the Middle East. That has nothing to do with the New Testament kingdom. The New Testament kingdom has no earthly aspirations. There's nothing on earth that we're trying to accomplish. Instead, the New Testament kingdom of God is something that is found in three places. It is found in the heart of the believer. It is something that is inside of you. It is something that is not confined to a physical territory. It is all over the world. And it is found in heaven. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. The New Testament kingdom of God has a heavenly king and local leaders, and that's all it has. The New Testament kingdom of God has a heavenly king. Jesus reigns from heaven. Local congregations of God's people have leaders that we call elders, pastors, shepherds, bishops, overseers. I think that's all. That local churches are ruled that way. And there's nothing else. There are no presidents. There are no kings or other rulers like that. That's all that there is. There is, instead of an elite class in the church, there's equality. In the kingdom of God, all people are equal. When you get into the kingdom of God, you do so by spiritual rebirth. Jesus said that no man can see the kingdom, John 3, unless he is born of water and the Spirit. A spiritual rebirth. The kingdom of God never engages in physical warfare. The kingdom of God never uses physical force for any reason. We engage in spiritual warfare for a spiritual purpose. And our work is spiritual. Our aspirations are heavenly. Do you see the difference between an earthly kingdom and the spiritual kingdom of God as it is described in the New Testament? And the Bible does not teach, contrary to the beliefs of many, that there is a coming millennial kingdom. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates that at some point Jesus will return, that He will come to the earth. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus will come in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4. He will come in the sky, and His people will go to Him. And thus we will always be with the Lord. The Lord is not returning. There is no coming physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom that's talked about in the New Testament. When Jesus and John the Baptist were on the earth, they talked about the kingdom in terms of at hand. What that means is that the kingdom was close. That when Jesus and John the Baptist were on the earth, the kingdom that God talked about in the Old Testament had not yet arrived, but it was near. It was close to being established. And then, from the book of Acts and chapter 2 until the book of Revelation, the kingdom is a present reality. Very important to understand. From Acts chapter 2, Jesus is said to be sitting on the throne of David, the promise of God having been fulfilled, all the way up through Revelation 1, where John says, I am your partaker, your fellow partaker in the kingdom. In the days of Jesus and John the Baptist, the kingdom was near. From Acts 2 to Revelation, the kingdom is here, and it continues to be here today. It is associated with the church, but it is not the church. When we make the oversimplified statement that the kingdom is the church, it's wrong. That is not true. The kingdom is associated with the church, but take a passage like Matthew chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12, where Jesus said that many from east and west, Gentiles, will come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not in the church. When people come and sit in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's more than the church. The kingdom is associated with the church, but it is not the church. They are not the same thing. They are associated together, but they are not the same. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And notice this description of the kingdom. And notice how this is much bigger than simply the church. The church is part of it, but it is not all of it. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. He's contrasting here because the Hebrew readers were wanting to go back to Judaism, which had a physical focus. And he says that in Judaism, you get Mount Sinai. But in Christianity, verse 22, he says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He said, well, see, that's a physical place. But look what he says next. The heavenly Jerusalem. To myriads of angels. There are angels in the kingdom. They're not in the church. They can't be part of the church, but they're in the kingdom. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's us, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, that's Old Testament believers, and to Jesus. The kingdom includes the church, but it's bigger than the church. There are parts of the kingdom we cannot see. Now, when we look around this morning, we see a lot. We see the church. We see members of the church. But there are members of the kingdom we cannot see right now, right? It's like my flight. So this row, like four rows back, is my family. Right? Now, not all of them. There's a couple of little ones there. Not them. When the amen is said, we're going to hand those things back and we're going to go home. We don't have to do that no more. Right? Which is great. And so, except for the little ones, the babies, that's my family right there. That's not all of my family. My family is there. That's what you can see. But I've got family in Nebraska. I've got family in Kentucky. I've got family in the spirit realm. My father, my grandmother are my family, but they're dead. And they're in the spirit realm. They're still family. You just can't see them. The folks in Nebraska, still family, can't see them. And that's the way the church is. When you look around, you see part of the kingdom. And maybe you travel to Indiana or somewhere else, other state that I can't think of other states right now. But you travel somewhere else, travel overseas, and meet other Christians, you're seeing the kingdom, but you're not seeing all of it. Because the kingdom is much bigger than the church. It includes the church, but it's more than the church. And then ultimately, the kingdom of God is going to have a future fulfillment in heaven. So if we wanted to look at it, by way of wrapping up, if we wanted to sort of see it visually, we might look at it this way. Imagine that that screen is everything that exists. That screen right there behind me is everything that exists. Everything that exists is on that screen somewhere. That's God's kingdom. Because God rules what? Everything. So it's all there. But within that kingdom, in the Old Testament, God created a nation called Israel. The purpose of the nation of Israel was to preview the coming messianic kingdom and to prepare us for it. It did that through the physical things that it did and the prophecy that it gave. But the point of God's word, and this is where people get messed up, the point of God's plan is not Israel. The point of God's plan, not Israel. Israel was created to look forward to the messianic kingdom. Israel was the kingdom already and not yet. Already and not yet is one of the most important Bible concepts that we can get. One of the most important Bible concepts is already and not yet. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are already and not yet. It's sort of like being pregnant. Now, I know that women love it when men talk about what it's like to be pregnant. I understand that. I'm going to tread lightly. I'm going to try to get it right. If I don't just understand I'm a guy, I'm going to mess it up. But what you know, hopefully you'll see where we're going here. So it's like being pregnant. It's funny to me when people say that a couple gets pregnant and they say they're going to be parents. They're already parents. You know, a woman is pregnant. I don't care how far along she is. A woman's pregnant. She's a parent. Dad's a parent. They're a parent. You're not going to be a parent. Woman's 9 months along and ready to absolutely burst. She's not going to be a mom. She's a mom. She's a parent. You're already a parent. And you have a lot of the stuff that goes along with parenting. There's a lot of pain involved, I'm sure, in being pregnant. In fact, I know. People don't understand how hard it is on the man for his wife to be pregnant. It's very difficult for us. Things are difficult for us. You don't understand that. We don't. The woman gets all the attention. I've never understood that. It's all about her. It's hard on us. It's tough. It's pain involved. Right? So you're already getting some of the pain. You already are having to wait all the time, right? She's got to go to the restroom all the time. She's got to do this or that. Well, that's what it's like when you actually have. You got to wait all the time, right? So you're already getting what you're going to get. It's already and not yet, you know, already with the difficulty. So when you're pregnant, you're already a parent. You just don't get a lot of the stuff you're going to get later. You know, screaming, crying children for absolutely no reason. Talking back, you know, rebellion, all that stuff. Going broke in the interest. Anyway, we're not going to get on. So, anyway, what was I talking about? So, the kingdom is a lot like being pregnant. You're already a parent. A woman is pregnant. She's already a parent. But she doesn't yet have everything that comes along with that. And that's the way the kingdom is. So Israel was the kingdom, but not yet. And so then we have the messianic kingdom. Jesus comes along, he says the kingdom is close. And then in Acts 2, the kingdom is said to be present. And now it's here, it's still here. We're part of the kingdom. But the messianic kingdom is not the end of it. The messianic kingdom looks forward to heaven. So again, in the messianic kingdom, we have this already and not yet. We're already in the kingdom, but the ultimate fulfillment is coming later. in heaven when there will be perfect conformity to the will of God. And so that's what the kingdom is all about. So in this series, and you can take out your songbook, we're going to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We're going to be talking about a mindset above, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Our citizenship is in heaven. I have been overseas several times, and I can tell you that no matter how much I enjoyed being overseas in another country, my mind was always in the States. My mind's always in America, always home, right? We live on earth, but the Bible says our minds are to be set in heaven. And then we're going to talk about living kingdom values daily because, Paul said, no immoral person has an inheritance in the kingdom. So we've got to live the way God wants us to live. And then we'll wrap it up by focusing on the future, looking for a new heavens and a new earth when the kingdom of God will be perfected. Just a couple of takeaways from this morning, and then we will close it out. Just a few things that we need to know. When you're in the kingdom, you submit to the sovereign instead of to yourself. When you're in the kingdom, because wherever you are, whatever nation or jurisdiction you're in, you have to abide by the laws and rules of that jurisdiction. You don't get to just make stuff up. You know, constantly, I'll be on a road and I'll think, 35. This has got 65 written all over it. That why is this not 65? I mean, sure, it's a residential area and there's houses and kids running back and forth across the street, but I think we can safely do that. But I don't do it. Because you don't just get to make up the rules. And so those of us who are in the kingdom have to submit to the sovereign. And we have to choose kingdom values over cultural trends. The people reject the Bible because it's outdated. Of course it's outdated. People reject the Bible because it's so different from current culture. Of course it is. That's the point of it. People are just scandalized. What? You mean you're trying to be a Christian and you're not accepting all of these new enlightened ideas? First of all, they're not new. They've been around for a long time. They were wrong then, they're wrong now. They're not enlightened. They're total darkness. But people are like, oh man, you Christians, you're serious about that? You're really not going to update your... No, that's the point of it, is to make people who are different from the world around them instead of following cultural trends. And remember, the best is yet to come. This is not as good as it gets. The best that it ever gets here is just a tiny reflection of how good it gets later, because this is not the end of it. It's already, but it ain't yet. We're getting there, and eventually the Lord will return, and we will get there. So next week, Lord willing, Philippians chapter 3 and verse, that should say 21, oh, it doesn't. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 18 to 21 tonight. Lord willing, we'll be back here at 6 p.m. talking about Psalm 62. When you are in difficulty and hardship, what does the Bible say about waiting for God to handle your problem? We'll talk about that, Lord willing, tonight. So, Jay is going to lead us in our invitation. So, Jay, what was it again? Number 723, and we'll sing that song in just a moment. If you are here this morning and you are not a citizen in God's kingdom, you still might be like, I still really don't know what that means. We would love the opportunity to sit down and talk to you about what the Bible says about the kingdom and being in it and what it means and what it promises and all. If you have any Bible questions, there's no reason for you to leave the building this morning with a Bible question. because we would love to sit down with you and give you a Bible answer about anything that you're wondering about. But you may have gotten your questions answered to the point where you're ready to commit. You're ready. Well, we have water, we have garments, we have towels, we have everything we need to baptize you into Christ and bring you into the kingdom, born of water and the Spirit. What are you waiting for? Right? Maybe you are in the kingdom and you're really struggling. Right? You like the kingdom, but man, you like some other kingdoms too. There's some other stuff you like pretty well, and you need a little help staying away from that stuff. Or maybe you've fallen already or you're struggling, and we'd love to help you with that. Whatever the case, we're here to help. We'd love to talk to you privately after church, or you can come forward and take a seat on the front as we stand and sing.